trusty partner, Linda Marie Evans, on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in September.
Yes, yeah, September 1st.
Wow.
It doesn't seem possible.
It doesn't seem possible.
August just went by so quickly, partly because there was a lot to see. We had a lot of theater going on.
We did. It was nice. And a lot more is coming up.
Right. Congratulations to Coalescence with a very successful, great run of Crowns. We got to see it on Saturday.
Yeah. It was our first time actually seeing a Coalescence performance live. Coalescence, as we've talked about before, has done an amazing job of bringing theater to actually worldwide, I suppose, during COVID, with really amazing efforts to keep theater going during the era of Zoom and remote sort of productions, and has always stayed true to their mission of bringing works of underserved peoples to the stage. And Crowns was another one. And we didn't know that much about Crowns. Well, we didn't know anything about Crowns until we heard about it through this
production. Actually, it was something that when we were looking into shows a while ago, it was one on a list of shows by Black playwrights. But you're right, we didn't know a whole lot about it. And it really exceeded my expectations. It was a really great time. And you bought your mom a hat. They were selling hats, which was really kind of a cool little thing to do during intermission. Hopefully the money from the hats goes to help Coalescence. And so that was fun.
Yeah, it was fun to have an excuse to wear one of my fancy hats, right, again, right, as I promised the director I would do. We really had a great show last week. And so if you didn't catch it and you're interested at all in hearing about Crowns more, because I think we could do a whole nother show just talking about our reactions to having seen it. But last week's show, where we had Elaine Hill and Dara Griffin on, Elaine is the director and Dara is one of the lead actresses. I would just say one of the actors.
It was very much an ensemble piece. And mm-hmm. there were so many really great choices that they made. I really hope to see more from Elaine Hill director-wise, because you could tell some of the things that they did were just so well done. I would like to see her more of what she directs. And there was one particularly moving scene for me where they were able to take just like a piece of fabric, basically, and make it into a veil for a wedding, and then it like seamlessly became clearly like a baby being held in their arms. And then there were a couple
did it start as a head wrap, like a hair wrap?
Yes, right, as a crown, basically,
right,
like it's a head wrap, and then a veil for the wedding, and then the baby. And then I think there might have been a couple other,
like, symbolizing iterations. Adult life or something,
like, so, the passage of time. Yeah. And then covering someone when they died. So it was just, and it was done so elegantly. So kudos to, I mean, there were so many things that I really liked, but that one stood out where I'm like, wow, I wonder how long it took to get that down, because it was just like this very flowing, natural, moving part of the show.
And that was the one time there were emotional moments, but that was the one that really got me. I mm-hmm. think it was that sequence. And I think we were talking to somebody after the show, and I said how that emotionally reminded me of that first 10 minutes of the movie Up, where it was without words taking us through essentially the entire life arc of
their relationship
of birth to death,
right?
And Stevie Darnell was the only male person in the cast, and we have not seen him before, and he just lit up the stage. He was a wonderful, soulful, beautiful singer, and he also just was able, his incredible charisma when he smiled. I mean, you could just look around and everybody would smile, and he definitely had more than more than, I guess, because he was mostly in the role of a pastor, but he had the audience basically responding to him as though it was an active congregation.
Right, right. And he seamlessly went, his part was kind of hard because he had to move from being a pastor, sometimes a husband, sometimes like a son, and, you know, so his official title was just man, right? So he was, because it's mainly about all these women. And so I think that would be a hard part to kind of like seamlessly move from all those. And he did a great job. Everybody did a great job.
Yeah. In particular, Tracy Gaston Spears, who is Mother Shaw. We have not seen her before. I don't think she was in Raisin, which is where we saw Dara and where we saw Elaine previously. But she was amazing in this kind of, I guess, well, Mother Shaw, I was going to say a maternal role. Yeah,
right.
But she felt almost maternal to the whole cast. She almost felt maternal to us as audience members, and did a great, in this whole, there was so much kind of like explanation of the symbolism that was used and then incorporating music into it. And as we talked about in the interview last week, the fact that this was originally a story written by two men.
Mainly pictures and captions of
quotes,
right? Of actual women talking about what their hats mean to them. And so it's very true to that book. From what they've said.
So. Right. And so I guess the men in this, just like the character was just a man, these two men who were responsible for creating the book, all they were doing was snapping the photos and writing the words of the women down. So really the imagery and the words has always been women before. And then here we have a woman director and mostly woman cast. So it's being brought to life. And a woman who put the show to get it made it a musical,
right?
Just really, I mean, we were exposed to songs we'd never, most of, I think I'd heard one out of probably 20.
I'd heard at least half.
And really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I spent a lot of time going to friends' churches when I was a kid, and I've been to primarily Black churches and just from all denominations. So I think it would take going to quite a few.
Well, so
churches.
Much of the audience was singing along, and I didn't hear you singing along. So
a couple of them, I was like kind of humming behind my mask. So, but. I don't know. I felt like I don't want to be disrespectful to people who are singing on stage. So, but it was great. Audience participation was kind of encouraged, and it made it even a better experience.
Yeah. And so much of it was spontaneous that I don't think you could restrain it, because I think a lot of it was just, an emotion that you're not going to be able to take out.
And I love that. I love that. I wish that we had more shows where audience members felt comfortable going, really? Or whoa.
There is a tough fine line between what is, and as an actor, director, whatever, what you would want. I mean, whether do you want somebody
in this context,
like when somebody's going to make a bad decision, do you want the audience to say no?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because like you were saying, you don't want to be disrespectful, but at the same time, if you're immersed, which is kind of the idea, then maybe that would happen.
But I have been to shows at the Station Theater, because it's such a small venue, where people have said things thinking that they were just saying it to the person next to them, and it might be distracting to the actors or irreverent to the actors. So, you know, there's that fine line, but this was a whole different situation. This was like the audience members were so into it, and it just added to the experience.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of why you want to have a really good dress, for instance, or like an attended invited dress.
Right.
So you can kind of maybe anticipate what's going to, if there might be things in the show that are going to pull out, like where are the laughs going to come? Or where is somebody, the gasps going to come, I guess, if it's a shocking thing, a dramatic thing. So another feature in that was really fun was that there was a little kid in the cast. Jamaica Morris was an aspiring actor who loves drawing, dancing, singing, acting, and crafting. And it's a tough role for a somebody that young, first of all, just to be in an adult play, not that there was really adult subject
matter. I would never have known she was nine.
Yeah, composure.
She was so good. She was so good. And she didn't, you know, she was kind of a background character, but she was always in character.
That was right. And that I thought was the tricky point, because she was on the stage probably 90% of the time, always in character, always. Because I think that everybody on the stage, even when the kind of the center was somewhere else, they were all supposed to be taking in what was happening and what was said. Anyway, I wish that we were talking about this to encourage more people to go see it, but unfortunately it's in the past. And this was also, it was also great to see what they could do on pretty much a non, they had a stage, but it was definitely a non theater.
It was more like a gym kind of feel to it, because it's a community center, but it's in the same building as Heartland's actual stage.
Yeah. So they must have just figured that this was, I think they maybe wanted bigger crowds. Maybe they knew how it would be. Also possibly wanted to actually create the environment of a church, which it wouldn't have been. I mean, Heartland's Theater is cool, but it's in the semi-round and only goes four seats deep. I don't think it would have had the same vibe. And we probably had more people there.
And they were originally supposed to be outside. And they, yeah, and so maybe Heartland didn't, their theater wasn't available.
And I think that would, that's good that they didn't do it outside, because I think the one thing that hurt them was the mics and sound.
Oh,
and
right.
Because they, and so, and outside, I think that would have been such a big hurdle. And as it would be, I think, to do almost anything outside.
Right. Although I do wish people would do more stuff outside.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think it's worth a try. I know that there have been some performances done in that little amphitheater at Cranor, that outdoor thing, which is really cool. Almost like an old Roman sort of a theater. Anyway, lots of other people in the cast we're not going to mention, but great show and so much talent in Bloomington, and so many inspiring characters and actors who brought them to life. So we've got other stuff that's coming up. And I guess we could start with some auditions. I don't have my... don't throw away your shot music, but these are your chances to not throw away your shot. There's now Parkland College just cast Christmas Story, but I believe they're still looking for actors for their other performance.
Yes, yeah, last we heard they're still looking for Neil and three female ensemble members. It opens October 13th, and it is called The Story, by Tracy Scott Wilson, and it's directed by one of our favorites, Latrell Bright.
Hey, hey.
And so you could not go wrong being a part of this show. We guarantee it. We give you the See You at the Show guarantee. So,
and it looks like we might just be down to one
ensemble.
One ensemble needed, and then one woman and I think one man. I think the ensemble is supposed to be women.
Yes, right.
At least for that role, although Spencer Hazen's in it, which is cool. Okay, but A Christmas Story is also packed, has just been cast. Spencer's in it again. Diane Pritchard from Twin City Theater Company is in it. Douglas Malcolm, we've seen him before. So anyway, exciting stuff happening at Parkland. But get to, you can just go to their audition page. We've got a link to it also on our See You at the Show page with all the other auditions that are going on right now.
And before we get on to more auditions, I'm just going to talk about Parkland is also hiring. If you'd like a paid gig in theater, they're looking for a production assistant and a paid stagehand. So definitely check that out and apply if you are looking for a paid job. And their 2022-23 season tickets are on sale right now. I used to be a season ticket holder when my oldest was in all the shows. And it's a nice way to support the theater, and you get a little bit of a discount. Sometimes there's perks, you know, like a free drink or something like that for each production. So check that out. I think they were even having a special deal on their season tickets for a short time. So definitely look at the Parkland Theater website.
Yeah, we just got an email about it yesterday, and I pulled it up. So here's what you get at Parkland season tickets. You get, you for an opening night package, Only $45, and you can see every single show, but you have to go opening night. And the flex packages are $85 each, where you can pick your dates now, but you can change them later.
Right. So there's different deals you can get.
Yeah. So.
And they're for sale right now. So go check that out.
Yeah. Maybe actually that was kind of neat how you did that when we kind of just, because this is something we've been talking about reconfiguring our website a little bit too.
Right.
So we just kind of talked about what's going on at Parkland right now, Parkland Theater. And mm-hmm. I think we kind of covered it. So let's kind of just like dance through Champaign now before we get on the interstate.
Well, Urbana Station Theater has auditions coming up.
They're doing the twofer.
Yep. So you can audition for two of their shows, Thanksgiving Play and Homegrown and Insurrection Play. Both of them are shows that I believe are by like people of color.
Yeah, they definitely seem to be taking the descriptions that we read. I don't have it in front of me, but one of them is the Thanksgiving Play is written by Larissa Fasthorse, and that very much sounds like a Native American name, and I think it is a Native American show.
Right.
And this is more continued good work by the Station Theater.
They're walking the walk.
Yep.
So good job, Station Theater.
Absolutely.
And get out there and audition. The 10th, it's only one day.
Yeah. Audition,
September 10th, 10 to 5 p.m. So
so the 10th is going to be, that's Saturday, two Saturdays from now. You have all day. They do have a, I was just on their sign-up page. You can click, they have a sign-up genius online where you can click to audition. They have descriptions of the characters.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Yeah, one's written co-op by Dr. Nicole Anderson Cobb. Right, Homegrown and Insurrection Play. I thought so.
That's weird. Yeah. I thought it was going to be directed by her, but it's being directed by Ben Locke, who I don't know.
Right.
But that's super exciting.
So
yeah,
that's Nicole, a locally written.
Yeah, play. she's on the U of I faculty, right?
I believe so. We've talked to her before on the mm-hmm. show.
It is interesting, isn't it? When you can, we're not going to out anybody, but how it's when. As an actor who's considered auditioning before, it's interesting to go in when you can actually see the names of the other people who are auditioning.
Yeah, we've talked about that before when we were on the board at the station. Like I've talked about with Jackie Lowenstein before, whether it helps to show other people that are auditioning. Maybe it gets other people excited about going, like, oh, I want to audition too because I know that person. Or could it be distracting or make somebody go, oh, I don't want to audition because this person is definitely going to get the show.
I think there's more risk.
Really?
I really do.
Yeah.
As somebody who just, I mean, because I'm not a confident auditionee anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, you know, and you can see, seeing how many people signed up is maybe, that's all the information that I want.
Really?
I don't need to see, I mean, like, damn, what if I want to be in a show and Fava or Steen's going for it? Then I know I'm out.
Which is weird because Fava and Steen are very, very different people. So I don't know why.
Actually, I should be though. What I should do is say, I'm in. I would just love to be in a show with
exactly.
Guys.
And so that's what.
You know, put me in the back. I'll be a tree, whatever you need me to be.
That's right.
If I can have a front row seats.
Right.
But just anyway, but you know, let's just leave this as a topic to maybe talk about with other theaters because I think it's interesting to be able to look at this. And, well, anyway, so when you go in and bravely put your name down, although I suppose you could maybe do an alias, like when you check into a hotel, is anybody really, you know, confirming?
Do you do that?
I'm wondering. I mean, I think that'd be interesting to have my audition persona.
Right.
And anyway, you can check, you can either audition for both, you can audition for either one. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see that is happening.
Right.
Usually we're complaining though about not enough information and I'm complaining about too much. I guess I'm always going to complain.
You're always going to complain. You're a critic. So I think that's it for Champaign Urbana for right now, right?
Well, but it is exciting that Station has started rehearsals with Tick, Tick, Boom.
I can't wait for Tick, Tick, Boom. When is that showing?
It is in October. Current season, that's not the right place. Tick, Tick, Boom, Tick, Tick, Boom.
September 22nd.
Whoa, wait a minute, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I know. That's what Kimmy and Cedric said on the text. Was like,
yeah.
It's, I can't believe it's 3 weeks from now.
Ironically, the clock is ticking on tick, tick, boom. All right. Well, that's
you can
great.
Already get your tickets.
You get
that,
your tickets 3 weeks from tomorrow. A book of music and lyrics by Jonathan Larson, the writer, creator, inventor of Rent.
Okay, so this is not a Champaign Urbana show. It's in Bloomington Normal, but it has enough Champaign Urbana cast members, and it's opening tonight. Suddenly Last Summer by the great Tennessee Williams.
Do you want to, should we give, do you want to be Matthew Green?
So Matthew doesn't, I feel like he doesn't blow his own horn a lot, and he's an actor, director, theater aficionado here in town in Champaign-Urbana. And his wife Yembe is stage manager extraordinaire. So they've been involved in so many shows. And they don't really push it. And so I was surprised when he posted a pretty long post today at Facebook talking about the show and that it was opening tonight. Usually he's pretty quiet about it. He doesn't even come on our show very often because he's, you know, like that.
I think he wrote this with the intention that it be read on the radio.
So, yeah. So I feel like, and Matthew, if we're wrong, let us know. But I think that because he went to the trouble to do this and that he's posting this, that it made me sit up and take notice. And of course, we want to see the show anyway, because, you know, it's got a great cast. It's got Joy Hofsommer, Mindy Smith, Mary Rose Cottingham, and Matthew Green, all from Champaign-Urbana, and plenty of other wonderful folks from Bloomington Normal. So he says this particular production has given him another chance to cross off something of his theater bucket list, because he was cast in a Tennessee Williams play at the beginning of his acting career, and he chickened out. So this is interesting that it's kind of come full, you like full circle kind of things. Obviously, this is not going to be his last show or anything like that, but it's interesting that, like, later on in life, he's in a Tennessee Williams show that that he didn't chicken out of. And it sounds like it's been a lot of work. He says, in addition to the playwright's lyrical and haunting dialogue and the very best acting we could manage, I promise, which that's high stuff coming from Matthew. There are also beautiful design elements to behold. In all honesty, this is one of the best looking and best sounding shows in which I've ever acted. That's a big thing for Matthew Green to say. He's been in so many shows. And the amazing Jesse Folks did the lighting. So, and so many other wonderful people involved. So it's tonight, opening night. And
it's a 3 week run, it looks like, because it spans 17 days.
September 1st through the 17th.
And it's at the community center we were just talking about, Heartland Theater.
Except
Company.
It's in the theater part of it.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe it was because of.
Oh, that's. I'm sure that's it, especially when he's talking about the design elements and stuff like that. Right. Sure. Right. That explains a lot.
Right.
Aside, but I still think good choice out of the two to give us the feeling of being kind of.
Right. And this is directed by Champaign-Urbana's own Tom Mitchell. And he is the person who knows the most about Tennessee Williams, I think, in the area.
Right.
It's Tennessee Williams has been his specialty. And
there's like a special where you get a free cup of coffee for every 4 Tennessee Williams shows you direct. He'd have a lot of cups of coffee.
He would have a lot of cups of coffee. So I'm
must
really
be a punch card for that.
Looking forward to seeing this. It's gonna be great. Right?
Yeah.
We could almost go on way.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Would that be crazy?
Tick, tick, boom. I don't think. Well, we could take that route and just see what happens.
It depends on how quickly we get out of here.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. We're really taking the show on the road.
Yeah, we are.
Because on the way to Wisconsin, that's when we went to Crowns.
Oh, that would be. Hey, don't you like Full Circle? Wait, that's me.
Wow.
But actually, this is more like a crescent moon. Going like
that
little skinny
moon. How cool would that be? On the way up here, we saw a show in Bloomington Normal, and on the way back, we see one.
Yeah, I would.
It'll make all the people who are just sitting at home in Champaign, not driving to Wisconsin, go, "Wow, I'm really lame if I don't drive."
We have to drive really. little bit fast.
Okay. All right.
But it is on the corridor. But so speaking of the corridor.
Yes.
Let's stay in Bloomington now and talk about community players. I guess we talked a lot about Coalescence, which is Bloomington based, as we discussed. But Community Players Theater has Steel Magnolias coming up. And that was off of my radar until we were at dinner the other night. And then I saw...
we were at Under the Ground Blono, which is the new vegan vegetarian restaurant in downtown Bloomington. And they had a poster for Steel Magnolias,
which is coming. And that also opens, that opens tomorrow night. Community Players Theater has a beautiful, beautiful auditorium. I mean, or just theater. Probably seats 400 or 500. And the sound in there has always been really good.
It's a great place for musicals.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They have just a great like warehouse to create and build in. And so I feel like it's going to be spectacular. Some of the, I think we, Truby Jones was in, she was in Mamma Mia. A lot of other familiar names on the cast list, but
yeah, Ling Christian was in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to Jaden Mapugai on the costume crew. I know Jaden's a really good golfer in the Bloomington area, so now she's showing off her diversity of skill sets.
Nice.
Okay, well, Steel Magnolias opens tomorrow and runs for 2 weekends through the 11th. And also coming up at Community Players are auditions for Jesus Christ Superstar.
Fun.
So their musicals run 3 weeks, and that is going to open in November 4th and run through the 20th. But auditions are taking place over 3 days.
September 12th through the 14th at 7 p.m.
Yeah, I believe that would be a Monday through Wednesday, based on my deductions of having previously looked at the 10th.
Okay.
It's Saturday. So doing some basic calendar math for you.
And do we have anything else in Bloomington Normal?
We don't.
Can I mention Cornstalk Theater has a ton of auditions coming up. They are in Peoria, and they have the one that I want to push is actually the one that's not coming up quickly, but we've been told that they want us to get the word out, Cadillac Crew, and that's, they need, like, I think 3 or 4, it's a very pretty small cast, but they're looking for at least 3 or 4 Black actors, and the auditions are November 12th and November 13th, November 12th at 1 p.m. and November 13th at 6 p.m. I can't talk today, but before those auditions, they also have the Regifters, in October 1st and October 3rd, and they have First Date November 4th and November 5th. So go to Cornstalk Theater's Facebook page or website to look at what's going on in Peoria.
Excellent. And that really stretches the I-74 corridor west.
Yeah, it's really, really stretching it. That east,
we come back and we shoot through Champaign because we've already been there. And then we head down to Danville, the mecca of multi-production stuff between Red Mask and DLO. They both have a lot coming up, don't they?
Red Mask has the Never Ending Story, which is a youth production that opens on September 9th through the 11th.
Right. And that's followed just 1 week later by a 2-night only, the Bleacher Bums. I think to cater to the Bleacher Bums last year. I don't know. I don't think we interviewed anybody about it and we didn't see it. But that's going to be September 17th and 18th at 3 p.m. Red Mask Players. There are also auditions coming up at Red Mask, which is the Ashena Maydell. Now, we interviewed somebody about that, but we weren't able to go see it.
Right.
And the auditions for Ashena Maydell are on September 12th at 7 p.m. So it's a Monday night at 7. More details at redmaskplayers.com, and you can go to seeyouattheshow.com, click on our auditions tab.
And we would be remiss if we didn't mention, I know we said we were done with Champaign, but go back a page. because the Penguin Project is coming up too. And I don't think we mentioned this. We've mentioned it in previous weeks, but not, we haven't mentioned it recently. And now that it's September, it's this month, Pure Imaginations, UTC's